Everybody, just want to continue this morning some of the things we are talking about in terms of our values as church. Over the years, we remind ourselves what we believe in, why we believe it, and what difference it makes to our behaviours. So it's important that we as a church know what we stand for, know what we believe. We have a leaflet here if you want to know what that is. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about those things. And this morning I want to talk about becoming a disciple. And I suppose the question that we have this morning is, are you a disciple of Jesus? And if you are you growing in your discipleship? Is it something that's moving you forward? Is it altering the way that you live? We used to say years ago, didn't we, and Jim was here, that if what you believe doesn't change the way you behave, then you don't believe it. Because it's making no difference whatsoever to who you are. And this morning, just as I begin just to share some thoughts, I just want to remind us that we are a spiritual people. That means that our spirits have been brought alive in Christ. And it means some things that we need to be done are spiritual and not mental, not our thought processes. It's something that God imparts to us. He speaks and he changes our spirit. And so as we've worshipped this morning, we were encouraged to worship, because in worship, we begin to touch God with our spirit, not just with our words or with our understanding. We begin to really touch God and he can minister to us. And so if there's stuff going on in your life that you need help with, then sometimes it's spiritual. God wants to break into where you are. He wants to bring something fresh, something of himself. We were reminded on Thursday in the Grace Course that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is coursing through our mortal bodies. In other words, we've got a powerful God that works powerfully in our lives. And that's a spiritual thing. It's not something that is physical. He spiritually transforms who we are. And this morning, we've sang some really... You know what some of the words you've sung? I'm just going to tell you what you sung. Just so you've got an idea, because sometimes we sing these things, don't we? And we go, oh, that was a nice song. So the first one is, for this cause, I'm giving up my life. Did you know you'd sang that? You're giving up your life. That's discipleship. For this cause, I'm giving up my life. You are the one that I live for. This will be a joyful surrender. I give my life to you. And we sung those this morning. And I think some of the key words there is, this will be a joyful surrender, because it sounds, sometimes when we talk about discipleship, we talk about giving our life to Jesus and following him, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. We imagine there is a lot of pain in there, but it's a joyful thing. It's a joyful thing to surrender our heart and our spirit to him, because when we do that, we're living in this relationship where he gives us what we need. He changes us and fills our life with everything that he has for us. So this morning I'm going to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this one. You can answer it internally, but who are you following this morning? Who are you following? Oh, something that's grown up over the last few years is to have personal trainers. I haven't got one. You may have had one, or you may be one, but sometimes we recognize we need help. We can't do it on our own, and whether that's physical fitness or eating healthily or just different routines in life, we have a personal trainer that helps us and encourages us in our aims and objectives to be something different. And as Christians, this is a lifelong process, and we've got to get our head around that. We are born again, so we become Christians. And really, that's the start of the rest of our lives. And our discipleship process goes on until we pass from this life into the next one. It's not a short-term investment that we're making in God and what he's making in us. It is something that is a process of personal transformation that continues. And to be called a disciple of Christ, we must follow his teaching with an obedient heart. He becomes our personal trainer. I don't know whether you've seen personal trainers in the army, but they're a bit brutal, aren't they? They stand over you and shout at you and call you all kinds of names until you move yourself and you become what they want you to be. As Jed has said, that's not how God operates. He's a gentle trainer. He speaks to our heart. And we've got to respond. We've got to have an obedient heart. The Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you want to become like him, that's who we focus on. We read about him, we allow him to speak to our heart, and we fix our eyes. And we're not just talking about physical eyes here, we're talking about, that's what I want to be like. I want to be like Jesus in everything that I am. My thought processes, my behaviors, my attitudes, what's going on in my heart, I want to become more like Jesus. So we have a decision to make about becoming a disciple. But I'll say this, that if you want to experience the fullness of all God has got for you, if you want to live in that place where he just blesses you with everything that you need, we've got to make a decision to follow him. We've got to joyfully surrender. In the time that Jesus was on earth, it was common practice for a rabbi or a teacher, and Jesus was recognized as a rabbi or a teacher, and if sometimes people will come to him and say, rabbi or teacher, what do you say about this? And he would then explain his view, his understanding of what the question meant and the answer that he was going to give in line with what he was teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And in those days, you would choose a teacher to follow. So there'd be many rabbis and teachers, there would be many of them, and you would listen to them and you would make a decision about what you were hearing and going, I'm going to follow this rabbi because I like what he's saying, it resonates with my spirit and I'm going to attach myself to him. We call it being tied to a teacher, tie yourself to someone. And this is how the first disciples met Jesus. They'd heard his message because Jesus was talking to people. He was speaking and ministering to the crowds. And so they would have heard his message. And their first step in their discipleship journey was to tie themselves to him. They heard something in the message of Jesus that was something they'd never heard before. He explained the kingdom of heaven in a new way. And something resonated in their spirit, it excited them, that suddenly they were seeing a different view, a different understanding of who God was and how he wanted to interact with their lives and what he wanted to do with them. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And they did. The Bible tells us that Jesus taught with an authority that nobody had ever heard before. They'd never heard teaching like it. They'd never heard the authority that Jesus had, the authentic message that he was carrying, the truth behind it. Nobody had heard it like this before. And this message of Jesus brought life, joy, and peace. The disciples were brought up as Jews. They would have been taught the same as everybody else. They would learn the scriptures, and they would have an understanding about the laws of their religion. But this was something new. This was an authority that Jesus brought. It was a newness. And when he asked them to follow him, they were entering a new heavenly kingdom that would transform their lives. And while Jesus was on earth and the disciples spent time with him, they would have seen some amazing things about God. Jesus opened their eyes to the power of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the purposes of God, and the values of God. But as we read the stories of the disciples, we see that they had to stick around him. They had to follow him. They had to be where he was, otherwise they would miss out on what was going on. They had to be intentional about their relationship with him to continue learning and to continue the change that God was bringing into their lives. And so they had to stay close to him. And if you notice, Jesus didn't stay in one place. He moved around a lot. And if you look at a map of the time that Jesus was around, he was here, there, and everywhere. And if the disciples wanted to be part of what Jesus was doing, they had to follow him. They had to be with him. They had to be right next to him to see what he was doing and learn about the kingdom of heaven. And interestingly, I put interestingly because it only just dawned on me, there were 12 disciples and not just one or two. And they would have created relationships with each other. They would have grown together. They would have faced some of the challenges of being part of a larger group, sharing their experiences together of what God was doing in them. And I believe that as our continued growth of disciples, it involves engaging with others and being part of the church community. It's exciting when God does something in our lives, when he reveals something to us, or he changes us, or he brings provision into our lives. And as disciples, we share that with each other because it brings an encouragement to those around us who may be facing the same thing. But it also, it emphasizes the need for relationship as disciples. And it says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 this: "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So as disciples, we have a requirement to be together, because we come together as supporting ligaments and muscles, and as we are joined together, we grow together. We grow by encouraging one another, by something that God is doing in my life I share with somebody else. We grow together and we come to maturity. We grow up together. We become mature as believers. As disciples, in essence, it is somebody who puts their faith in God, in his gift of salvation, and follows him. We can't follow him physically, so we follow his teaching that we find in the Word of God. We often say, don't we, that becoming a Christian or being a Christian is more than coming to church. It's more than saying prayers. It's more than all that. It's someone who God has broken into their lives and they choose to follow him. Becoming a disciple, we follow him. So what do we do then to follow him? John 14, 15 says this: "If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands." And that on the surface seems quite a harsh thing to say. We don't know. We can imagine how Jesus said it. But what he's saying is that if you are a follower of mine, if you are a disciple of mine, then you'll do what I'm telling you. You'll follow me. You will be obedient to what I'm saying. But remember, one of the songs that we sang said, "This will be a joyful surrender." In other words, we're not being pinned down and held down till we give in. But because we recognize the fullness of what God has done in our hearts and in our lives, because of the transformation he's brought, we readily and joyfully surrender to his obedience. We do what we're asked. Those of you who are in authority, in whatever position, maybe at work or in the home or as a parent, there is nothing more satisfying than when you say to somebody, "Would you just do this for me?" And they go, "Yeah, not a problem." Does it ever happen at home? Do your kids just do that? I know in our experience of fostering children that is a big issue. "Just go and sit down over there." "No. Why should I sit over there?" "Well, because I've asked you to. It would be really good if you went and sat down over there." "You're not telling me what to do." And straight away we get into this battle. And sometimes we can be like that with God. And there have been times when I've been like that, where I've not wanted to do what God has told me to do. Forgive your brother. You've got to be kidding. After what he's just done, no chance. Go and forgive him. And what God is looking for is that joyful surrender where we go, you know what, God, I'm just going to do that because it's what you want. So as a disciple, we are obedient to his commands. And really, he's only left us with two, hasn't he? To love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. So if we get that right, usually everything else follows on from that. It's when we stop loving God that we begin to have issues in our discipleship. So we've got to love God with everything that we have and love your neighbour as yourself. And I believe that if we're going to love our neighbour as ourselves, we've got to love God, because some of our neighbours aren't very nice. Some of the people we live around can really irritate us. They can annoy us. They can even persecute us. But if we love God, we'll love our neighbour. So we've got to be obedient to him. And his commands are, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. And he says, if you do those, you fulfil all the law. You don't need any other laws, because we are living in obedience to God, and we're doing things out of a joyful surrender to please him. And in doing that, we will love our neighbour. I don't know how that works, but God gives us something when we love him. He gives us a love for other people that is beyond our capacity to love. What amazing grace we have. We are to bear fruit. It says in John 15. John 15 is a great chapter about bearing fruit. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So you are already clean because Jesus is in your life. You've been made clean. Your sins have been removed. You've been forgiven. You are clean before me. That is, before God. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So here we are. It's really tying in that we love God with everything we are. And as we are connected to him, we begin to bear fruit in our lives. We can't do it on our own. I've tried, and it don't work. In fact, Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. So don't even bother trying, because you're not going to produce anything. We can produce stuff in the natural, but we live in a spiritual realm where God is producing things in a spiritual way. And sometimes we think we are doing our best, and I've been in that place where I've thought, well, God's given me a brain, and I'm going to use it, and this is what I'm going to do. But sometimes our thinking is not God's thinking, and we do things in the natural, and Jesus is saying, I want you to be connected to me, because I'm going to produce something through you. All you need to do is be connected with me. It says in Galatians 5, doesn't it, that the things we're going to bear fruit in is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we live in that place, there's no law, because we're living right. We are producing fruit in our lives. And I believe that as we are connected to him as disciples, as we are being obedient and joyfully surrendering, things begin to grow in our lives. We begin to bear fruit. And that is these fruit here that bring us peace and joy. We experience God's love. We give God's love. Kindness, goodness, patience, gentleness, self-control all begin to become part of who we are. He changes us and transforms us as we are connected to him. That's part of the change process that God brings. And sometimes we don't even recognize it's going on in our lives, but others very often do. Sometimes we don't know God's changing us, because it can be slow. And you'll know if you've tried to grow anything, that if you look at it every day, it doesn't seem to be getting any bigger. But if you go away on holiday and come back 2 weeks later, sometimes you go, whoa, that's amazing. But if we'd have been looking at it every day, we wouldn't have noticed the change. And sometimes it's like that with us. God is changing us, but very often it's a bit at a time and we don't recognize it. But others do. They begin to see the fruit in our lives. And that's what God wants us to bear. Because if we do that, we will be a powerful force everywhere we go. As disciples, we are called. So Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he left this earth. And this is what he left them with. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the earth. The message we carry in our lives is powerful. Not only in our lives, but we're carrying this message everywhere we go, every day, everybody we spend any time with. And when we live as his disciples, when we are deliberately following and deliberately being obedient, he changes us and the world. The message is a powerful message of good news. And as followers, we are called to demonstrate that everywhere we go. And sometimes people look at us and go, if he can do it in you, he can do it in me. If God can change you in that way, then surely he could change me. We carry a very powerful message. Don't ever underestimate your relationships with those around you, because this message transforms people's lives. It brings to them the things that are just missing in their hearts, and it heals them and changes them. We're equipped. God has given us everything we need. It's one of those scriptures that we read regularly, because it is good to remind ourselves that he does that. I'm just going to read 2 Peter 1, 3 to 8, because there is another requirement around that as well, which sometimes we stop reading at the good bit and then we don't go on to the hard bit that follows it on. So let's just read this together. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So what he's saying there is that when we look at our discipleship, when we look at our Christian life, we sometimes think, I could never do that. But his power has given us what we need to live a Christian life. We can't do it on our own. And if ever we think we can, we're going to start to fail at that moment. Every day we've got to remind ourselves that we need God in our lives, and he gives us what we need to get us through and to be a good disciple each day. We can't do it without him. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. If we want to stay strong, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a process going on all the time in our lives, and we've got to keep growing in those things. Otherwise, we become ineffective and unproductive in the way that we are living for Christ. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is what's living in us, and he's the one that speaks to our heart. He's the one that encourages. He's the one that helps us. If you're ever struggling, just ask the Holy Spirit to just give you what you need. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. He is your helper. So being a disciple of Jesus is more than attending church or agreeing with the truth of the Bible. It's a conscious decision that through thick and thin, we're going to follow him. Don't matter what happens, I'm going to be following him. Some people followed Jesus because they got fed. Some people followed him because they wanted healing. I would imagine that whenever Jesus appeared anywhere, there'd be immediately a huge crowd of people all there for different reasons. Some wanted to hear the message, this new message about the kingdom of heaven and what it means for me and how I can have this relationship with God. Well, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to take away all the requirements for keeping the law and replace it with faith in me. Some people wanted to hear that message. Some people may have been there when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 and thought, if I follow him around, there's a chance I'll get fed here. Some would have followed him because they saw healing or wanted healing. But because God is gracious, because God understands us, that didn't bother him. But a true disciple isn't somebody that just follows him because of the benefits that they get. You've not got this one, Steve. I'll read it. Matthew 8:19. Then a certain scribe came to him and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. That's quite a statement, isn't it? I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. What Jesus is talking about is our readiness to follow him. He wasn't saying you can't go and bury the dead. What he's saying is you can't wait till all these things happen. You can't wait till you think you're in a position to follow me. It's a decision you make and you've got to follow me from this moment. Not when you feel like it. Not when you think circumstances are in such a place that you can begin to do that. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. When he was talking to the first disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And as disciples, we are fishers of men. By the way that we live our lives, we become fishers of men. If we want to be truly forgiven and set free, healed spiritually and emotionally, we have to be obedient to the call on us. As a disciple, it's no longer about me. It's not about me anymore. It's about others. It's about putting them first. It's about serving. It's about bringing this message to them. And that sounds okay until you have to do it. Until you have to put others first. He says, preferring one another in love. We all like to be number one, don't we, in our lives? But the moment we become a disciple, we're no longer number one. He is. He says, we've got to take up our cross every day and follow him. It's a serious thing being a disciple of Jesus. It's not something we can do on a whim. Here we believe that together, we are growing into better disciples. No one is the finished object. But we fix our eyes on Jesus and let him continue to change us and work through our lives and speak into the lives of our community. We say, don't we, that the church, the local church, is the hope of the world. We are the hope in this community. And we only do that if we are his disciples, if we are connected to the vine and we are producing fruit in our lives, if we are joyfully surrendering who we are to him, to what he's called us to be. That's one of our values here. We believe that we are called to be disciples and are always growing as disciples. We need to connect with him and we need one another as well. We need to connect with one another so together we can just represent God in the best way that we can. We do carry a hope in our lives. We carry a message everywhere we go. And we believe that you, as a disciple of Jesus, can make a difference to this community. Thank you.